Gracias por descargar este podcast de Hey Festival. Para más información sobre nuestros festivales internacionales y sobre cómo acceder a nuestro archivo, por favor visite heyfestival.org. Gracias.
What you've just seen is a small example of students doing philosophy. And by doing philosophy, I mean engaging in discussion of some big and difficult ethical questions that all of us, as democratic citizens, need to engage and to discuss together. Questions about the meaning of a just society. Questions about the common good. Questions about what we owe one another as citizens. That's what those students were debating. And as an experiment in educational uses of new technology, we put the entire course online as an experiment in free and open global access to show that higher education can be a public good, not just a private privilege. We never imagined when we began this experiment, opening access to the Harvard classroom to anyone, anywhere, who wanted to watch and learn and think together with the students in that class, to think together also with the famous philosophers of the past whom we discuss. We never imagined what the response would be, that tens of millions of people around the world would watch free online lectures on philosophy. I think one of the reasons for the interest in societies around the world is that there is a hunger for public discussion about these big questions of ethics and of values. Too often, the public discourse that we have in democratic societies is empty of larger meaning and purpose. There is an emptiness, a hollowness to the way we debate politics these days in democratic societies. So much of what passes for political discourse is narrow, managerial, technocratic talk. Politicians and political parties rarely address large questions of justice and the common good. My goal as a philosopher and as a teacher of philosophy is not only to teach students about what famous philosophers of the past thought, but also to invite students and readers and citizens generally to bring philosophical questions to bear on the lives we live, to connect philosophy with the world. And so tonight, I would like to invite all of you here in this beautiful theater here in Cartagena to invite you to join me in a discussion about some hard questions about ethics and about what makes for a good society. So I have some questions I would like to put to you. And the questions have to do with the subject of my most recent book, which is about money. The question I would like to put to you tonight for discussion is, what should be the role of money and markets in our societies? Today, there are very few things that money can't buy. Did you know that there's a city in California with a jail? And if you're sentenced to a jail term, and if you don't like the standard accommodations in the prison cell, if you have the money, you can pay extra and buy a prison cell upgrade, a better cell. For how much do you suppose? What do you think? It's about $80 a night. Let me give you another example. This is an example that shows how market reasoning and market values are not only at play in allocating material goods, but also in our everyday lives. Take the experience of standing online, waiting in a queue at an amusement park, for example. When I was a kid, part of the experience of going to an amusement park was waiting in long lines at the popular rides. That was part of the experience. Everyone had to do it. Today, that's no longer true. Today, if you don't want to wait in long lines, if your kids get impatient, and if you have the money, in many amusement parks, you can pay extra for a fast track or a VIP ticket and go straight to the head of the line. Now, paying to go to the head of the line, this wouldn't matter very much if it happened only at amusement parks. But actually, it's happening throughout our social life. In Washington, D.C., Congress holds hearings that are open to the public with a limited number of seats. The seats are made available on a first-come, first-served basis. And for popular and important hearings, there are often long lines for hours, even sometimes days, if you want a seat in the hearing room. Now, there are some people, especially lobbyists, who want to sit in the hearing room, but who don't like to wait on long lines. So there are companies now in Washington, D.C., where lobbyists and others can go, pay a certain amount of money. The company will hire a homeless person or someone who needs the job to stand and wait online for you for hours or days. And just before the hearing begins, the lobbyist can take his or her place and get a front row seat in the hearing room for a fee. The name of one of these companies that provides the line standing service is linestanding.com. They will also get you a seat if you want to hear oral arguments in the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. You can go to linestanding.com and they will hire a line stander to get you a place. Now, markets and market reasoning are also playing a part in even more fateful, more important aspects of social and civic and political life. Military service. Did you know that in Iraq and Afghanistan, there were more paid military contractors on the ground than there were U.S. military troops? This isn't because we had a public debate about whether we wanted to outsource war to private companies. But this is what has happened. Over the last three decades, we've drifted, almost without realizing it, from having a market economy to becoming market societies. The difference is this. A market economy is a tool, a valuable and effective tool for organizing productive activity. But a market society is a place where everything is up for sale. It's a way of life in which market thinking and market values begin to dominate every aspect of life, not only the domain of material goods, cars, toasters, flat-screen televisions, but also personal relations, family life, community life, health, education, politics and civic life, the way we fight our wars. Now, this tendency may be more extreme in its development in the U.S. than in other countries. But my impression is, and you will be the judges, that what's happened in the U.S. is just a more extreme example of a tendency that can be seen in countries around the world, including in developing economies, such as Colombia. You will be the judges, but I'd like to put to you this question. Why worry? Should we worry about the tendency to put a price on every aspect of life? Should we worry about the tendency of market economies to become market societies? That's the question I would like to invite you to discuss. And in order to discuss it, I'd like to put to you a couple of examples of the uses of market reasoning and the intrusion of market values into sometimes unfamiliar places. But let's begin with a familiar example. Suppose you want to go to a concert, a rock concert. Now, very often, rock concerts sell out quickly. But there are usually tickets available from ticket scalpers. You know what I mean? People who buy up tickets and offer to resell them at a high price. Now, is there anything wrong with this? Is it unethical, or is this a legitimate use of the market principle of supply and demand? The demand for the tickets of a popular rock concert, the demand is higher than the supply. Let's take a popular rock star for whose concert tickets might be resold at a high price. Who would be a popular rock? Madonna, people don't watch her still, do they? They do. Lady Gaga? Shakina? All right, let's take a vote about whether ticket scalping, reselling tickets at a high price for a concert. First, we'll consider the concert. How many think that that's morally objectionable, ethically objectionable? And how many think it's okay, that it's a legitimate use of the market, of buying and selling? All right, let's first say, how many object? How many think it's wrong? Raise your hands. And how many don't object? How many think it's okay? Raise your hands. All right, we have a good difference of opinion here. Let's first hear from someone who objects. And you can speak in either English or Spanish, as you wish. Let's first hear a volunteer who will explain why he or she thinks it's wrong to scalp tickets for the Lady Gaga concert. Who will begin our discussion? Raise your hand. Someone who's willing to explain why he or she disagrees. Yes, stand up and tell us. Tell us your name and tell us why you object.
Gracias. Me opongo porque la actividad no le agrega valor a lo que se está haciendo, simplemente es una intromisión oportunista para sacar un provecho que no pone, no suma, no suma, sino al contrario, dificulta el acceso a la actividad pues correspondiente, pues al concierto.
It hinders access.
Sí, porque en cuanto limita y disminuye la posibilidad del público en general para acceder. Y por eso, en la medida en que no está agregando valor, en la medida en que lo que hace es elitizar la opción, está marginando a una parte de la población destinataria de esa oferta, a no ser que sea una oferta con privilegios para determinado público, pero si es general, no.
Okay, very good, thank you. So it makes the concert accessible only to the elite, to the privileged, to the affluent, and it deprives those with less money from the opportunity to attend. Yes? Okay. Now, who disagrees? Who thinks that... We'll see. Who disagrees? All right, go ahead.
Yo sí estoy de acuerdo. Porque precisamente las reventas de boletas, yo pude estar acá porque encontré revendedores.
You did?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Hace 3 días se acabaron las boletas.
Wait. Go ahead.
Twice, el doble. Pero hace el mercado y los sistemas de mercado no son tan abiertos, son cerrados y por eso no permiten esa compra abierta. Y hace 3 días por internet no se podía comprar. Y ayer lo pude comprar para poder estar aquí. Y soy feliz con eso. Los seres humanos nos adaptamos y un poco es ley de la selva y cuando evolucionemos y seamos solidarios será otro cuento. Por ahora es así.
All right. Wait. May I ask you a question? First, tell us your name.
I'm Walter Nokwa.
Walter Nokwa.
It's a British name with a... Indian or pre-Columbian last name.
Okay, all right, Walter. All right. Now, all right, may I ask you a question, Walter? You said that ticket scalping for this lecture, which is what you did, you said it's the law of the jungle.
Right now, this is life.
This is life. The law of the jungle. Are you suggesting that using the market principles, that the market, when market allocates access to concerts or to a philosophy lecture,
like a rock star,
okay, but that the market is really the law of the jungle. The law of supply and demand is the law of the jungle.
Lo voy a decir mejor en español. Básicamente,
please.
El único principio, la única verdad es que el ser humano y todo ser quiere perseverar en el ser. Así que si tú quieres estar aquí, haces lo que sea. Cuando evolucionemos y seamos capaces de ser solidarios, será otra cosa. Pero ahora es así.
I see. So the principle of the market, you say, is the opposite of the principle of solidarity.
Right, right that.
And do you think that access to a rock concert or to a philosophy lecture,
like a rock star,
okay, should be governed by solidarity or by the law of the jungle, as you call it?
Tenemos la esperanza de que espacios como el festival empiecen a ser más solidarios y tengan más espacios donde no haya esa competencia, donde no tengamos que llegar a pagar más cara la boleta para poder estar acá. Pero mientras tanto, esta es la realidad.
Okay. Now, thank you both. Now we need to hear from someone.
Y me adelanto. Y la pregunta es, ¿seremos capaces en esta sociedad de consumo de dejar de matarnos para vivir?
All right, well, we'll get there. We'll get to that question. But I want to start by inviting someone who disagrees with the first two speakers to reply. Is there some, we've heard two defenses of the market principle for concerts and for a philosophy lecture. Is there someone who disagrees? Who voted in favor of the opinion that it's unethical to scalp tickets to a rock concert or to a philosophy lecture? Who disagrees and can explain why? Yes. Go ahead. Well, stand up.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can be that eloquent, but I think that if you buy tickets that are being resold by somebody, you are contributing to that type of market. It's like a little black market.
A black market?
Yeah.
It's morally illegitimate?
Morally and practically, in a practical way, too. It is, because you're disrupting the chances, the real chances of people to get here. And I guess it happens because there's much more demand than spaces to listen to the lecture. However, just because I want it and then I go about and buy resold tickets that are being resell doesn't make it right, because there's just a certain amount of spaces. So I have to accept it's over. You know, maybe I will have another chance.
Right.
But then I will be contributing to something that it's not good. It's not right.
Okay. So, and what's your name?
Hema.
Hema?
Yes.
So Hema thinks it's morally illegitimate. It's a black market to allow the resale of tickets, even for a concert or a philosophy lecture.
Yes.
All right. Now, thank you for that. Okay. Now I want to shift to another example. First, everyone who still objects, who finds it morally objectionable to resell tickets for a rock concert, raise your hands, and now keep them up. And now I want to change the example. How many think, now raise your hand, keep them up. Now raise your hand if you think that ticket scalping for access to a medical appointment to see a doctor in a crowded hospital, reselling tickets in a long line at a hospital to see a doctor. How many think that's wrong? Raise your hands. And how many don't? How many think that's a proper use of the market? Now, many more people object to scalping tickets or hiring line standers for a medical appointment. Say it again. It really happens in Colombia? Right now? All right, we'll get you a microphone. Where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? Wave your hand. Oh, wait, they're way up there. All right. All right. So it's been... All right, thank you. Is that Walter again? Walter's now up on the third floor. Thank you for that. All right. Now, I would like to hear... Walter is getting his money's worth. Thank you for that. All right. But what that suggests is that this is not merely a hypothetical question. Now, I'd like to hear from someone who finds it objectionable to scalp tickets to a doctor's appointment, let's say at a public hospital, where the appointments are fewer than the number of people who need care. Someone who finds that objectionable, but who did not object in the case of the concert. Who can explain what he or she sees as the moral difference between the hospital case and the rock concert case? Yes, in the red shirt. Yeah, stand up. We'll get you a microphone. Over here in the balcony, do we have... Maybe you can hand it up or toss it up. Go ahead.
In the case of the hospital visit, can you hear me now?
Yes.
In the case of the hospital visit, it's a matter of life and death. In the case of the scalping the ticket for the rock concert, that's a matter of pleasure.
Pleasure.
Much different.
And what about the philosophy lecture?
Depends upon the philosopher.
Ah, okay. All right. All right, so the moral difference is where life and death are at stake, market principles should not apply. Is that what you think?
Yes.
All right. Anyone else? Who else would like to speak to the difference, if you do see a difference, between these two cases? Who else can articulate the difference? Or is that the reason most of you, does everybody agree with that reason? No? Hey. No? All right, what would you say? Those of you who don't agree, who disagrees?
No, I said you can buy a private insurance company. You can have a
All right,
better
stand,
insurance.
Stand up.
You have a better insurance. You can buy yourself a better insurance. But if you use normal lines and try to buy yourself in, I think it's wrong. But you can pay a better insurance and go to the better specialist without waiting.
All right. Now, and tell us your name.
Tim. Tim.
Tim. All right. So, Tim, you say it's wrong at the public hospital to buy your way to the head of the line.
Because it's something that happens in Colombia all the time.
It happens in Colombia, but yeah. Why is it wrong?
Wrong. If somebody is using different powers in order to bring himself before the people who are waiting,
yes,
I think it's wrong. Anyway, when it comes to health, I think everybody has to be equal.
All right. When it comes to health, wait.
Now, in coming back to the tickets. I mean, when I bought my first tickets to Hay Festival, they were offered on internet. You do it in the first week, or you do it in the first 2 weeks, you get tickets. People who don't get ready, something happens, and they come in the last day.
Right.
Sure, some people will take
All right.
advantage.
I want to go back to the hospital.
Let's go back.
All right. You said that where health is involved, medical care, people should be equal. And that's why at the public hospital, it's wrong to buy your way to the head of the line. But what about going to a private doctor, paying extra to go to a private doctor? Some people can afford it.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that?
I think those people who buy it usually makes a big sacrifice. I'm not talking about all the rich people, but a lot of people take a big part of what they will use for pleasure and will invest it in a better insurance health comp.
All right. So there's nothing wrong with it, you don't think?
Well, there's no other way right now what is offered by society in order to get a better treatment.
All right, but here's my question, Tim. You can probably guess the question I'm going to ask. If it's wrong to buy your way to the head of the line in a public hospital to pay extra because you think in the case of health, everyone should be equal, why isn't it also wrong to buy your way to the head of the line, in effect, by hiring, paying more to hire a private doctor? Morally, what's the difference?
I think you are using market powers which are not supposed to be used, because you put people, you tell them, wait for me. It's like this waiting organization that is not, I don't think it's ethical. It's not ethical.
But is it ethical to hire a private doctor, pay more, you don't even have to wait in a line? Is that ethical? That's what I want to ask.
Maybe. I think it's ethical because usually you work for your money.
But you work for your money if you pay extra.
No, you are right. You're right in both things, usually. But people come and stay from the morning here. Let's say we're talking about Colombia. They're waiting from the morning until the evening to get to see a doctor. And suddenly somebody comes. I believe it has to be equal.
It has to be equal, but it's not equal if you pay for a private
doctor. I call for basic medicine.
For everyone. Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Tim. Now, who would like to address Tim's distinction? Who? Is there someone who disagrees? Someone who disagrees with Tim? Yes.
Acá.
Okay, go ahead.
Spanish.
Yes, go ahead.
Para mí es una diferencia entre lo que es lo que debería ser lo normativo y lo que en realidad es lo positivo. ¿Sí? Es lo que quisiéramos todos, pero eso no es lo que existe en la realidad. Entonces lo que se debe actuar es en lo que realmente existe.
All right, thank you for that. And you had something. Go ahead, stand up. The woman in the right here. Yes, go ahead. We'll get you a microphone.
Excuse me.
Right down here. Yes, go ahead.
Can I add something?
Right here. Go ahead. No, right here, behind, the woman behind. Thank you.
Yo pienso que el dilema es el mismo. Si tienes el derecho a la salud debe ser igual para todas las personas. Y puede pagarlo o no puede pagarlo. O sea, todo el mundo tiene que tener el acceso. Es un derecho que deben tener todos los ciudadanos por igual. Entonces, las condiciones del mercado y la realidad, que es lo que se ha dicho aquí, pues está planteando una cosa diferente. Hay gente que puede pagar un seguro especializado y acceder, pero el deber ser de las cosas es que si hay que pagar un peso, todo el mundo paga un peso y recibe el mismo servicio. Y si no, o sea, y si son dos, pero debe ser igual. En el tema de la salud me parece, y no, y en todos los temas también. Yo pienso que es el mismo planteamiento ético. En todas las circunstancias que usted ha puesto, es el mismo planteamiento.
And so let me just ask. May I ask you a question? Tell us your name.
Marta. Marta.
Marta. Stand up, keep the microphone, Marta. Stand up. Marta. Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
No. Sí, ya.
Okay. Do you think that the market should not determine access to health care? Should not?
No.
And do you think, so you don't think people should be able to scalp tickets for access to a doctor's appointment? Resell tickets?
No, no se debe.
And do you think that it's just or fair that some people can afford to pay extra for private doctors and not wait, and others cannot. Is that unfair, do you think?
Sí, me parece injusto. Me parece injusto. O sea, lo justo es que todos podamos tener ese acceso de la misma manera.
Okay, so Marta, thank you for that. I want to thank everyone who's joined in this discussion. Thank you very much. You've done a great job. Now, I want to see if I can draw some conclusions or identify some principles that emerge from the debates we've just been having. Debates about where markets belong and where they don't. About where markets serve the public good and where they may violate important values. Our general question is this: how can we decide what goods, what aspects of social life should be governed by markets, and what aspects of social life should be governed by non-market values? Marta just said she thinks healthcare should not be governed by the market. Education should or should not be? Should not? All right, so here's another case. Now, here's the philosophical question. And it's also a civic question. How can we decide? One way of thinking about this is to notice that there are some things that money cannot buy, even if it tries. Friendship, for example. Suppose you don't have very many friends. You want more. It probably wouldn't occur to you to try to buy some. Why not? Why would you not try to buy, if you had the money, why would you not try to buy some extra friends? There's a philosophical question for you. Probably because you would realize, after a moment's thought, you would realize that a hired friend, a bought friend, is not quite the same as a real one. Somehow, the money that would buy the friend undermines the good you're seeking. So friendship is a good, maybe one of the rare goods in our societies that money can't buy even if it tries. But this is not true of most goods. Let's take a harder case. What about expressions of friendship? Take the example of wedding toasts, a wedding speech at your best friend's wedding. Some of you have probably been asked to give a wedding toast or a wedding speech. Have some of you had that experience? Yeah? It can be an anxiety-provoking request because, at least for some people, it's not easy to deliver an eloquent, heartwarming speech at your best friend's wedding. And so now, if it makes you nervous, this prospect of giving a wedding speech or a wedding toast, there's help. There are companies that will, online companies that will sell you a custom written wedding toast. It's true. You go online, you give them some information about the bride and the groom, about how they met, about how long you've known your friend, about whether you want a funny speech or a heartwarming tear-jerker. And you send in the information along with how much money do you suppose? What do you think it costs? $20? This is a custom written wedding toast. $149, including shipping and handling. And in 2 to 3 business days, you will get a custom written wedding toast for your best friend. Now, this shows that a wedding toast is a good that money can buy for $149. But is it, but can it really be bought? Is it the same good, or is the value of that good diminished? Is the character of the good changed? Probably it is diminished or degraded, because imagine, suppose your best friend at your wedding gave a warm, heartwarming, eloquent wedding toast that brought tears to everyone's eyes, including yours, and then you learned that he'd bought it online for $149. Would it have the same meaning? Would it have the same value? Probably not. So while money can buy a wedding toast, strictly speaking, the financial transaction diminishes or degrades or corrupts the quality and character of the good. So wedding toasts can be bought, but they're not quite the same good. Now, it's not true with all goods. Sometimes the buying and selling of a good does not change its meaning. Take the debate about whether kidneys should be bought and sold on the market. Many people need kidneys to survive. There are many poor people who would be willing, if there were a market, and there is a black market, to sell their kidney. Now, a kidney is not like a friend. If someone buys a kidney, and if it's a good match, the kidney will work regardless of the financial transaction. The money won't degrade the meaning or the value of the kidney. So if there is something objectionable about buying and selling kidneys, it must be an ethical objection. It can't simply be said that money can't buy a kidney. Now, how can we decide? How can we figure out where putting a price on a good erodes its meaning or its value? The only way we can decide is to figure out how to value, how properly to value goods and social practices. What moral principle should govern the various aspects of social life? Now, the answer will differ case to case. The answer may be one thing for rock concert tickets and something else for access to a doctor or to education or to a human organ or to a philosophy lecture. So in order to decide what goods, what aspects of social life should be governed by market values and market thinking, we have to engage in a normative debate, in an ethical debate about how to value, how properly to value the various aspects of the good life. Now, this is a debate that we are not very good at conducting in democratic societies. And I think the reason we're not is that we hesitate to introduce controversial moral and ethical arguments in public life, because these are controversial questions. And we live in pluralist societies, and we know that people will disagree about how to value goods. Should we buy and sell kidneys? What about contracts for paid pregnancy or surrogate motherhood? What about the use of market principles in health and education or in the way we fight our wars? Is there anything wrong with hiring mercenaries to fight our wars? None of these questions can be answered unless we have a public debate about the proper way of valuing these various goods. It may seem on the surface that economics as a discipline can decide this question about the role of money in markets. Economics today, as it's practiced and taught, presents itself as if it were a value-neutral science of social choice. And part of the appeal of thinking about economics and about market reasoning this way, part of the appeal is it seems to spare us the need to engage in these hard ethical debates about how to value goods. If markets were truly neutral instruments of allocation, if markets didn't change or corrupt or degrade the meaning of goods and social practices, then we wouldn't have to engage in the hard work as citizens of reasoning together about the right way to value the goods and social practices we care about. I think one of the reasons that we have lost the habit of engaging in reasoned public debate about big ethical questions is that we have come to rely more and more, almost without realizing it, on this faith in markets, on this tendency to outsource our moral judgments to markets. But the effect of this outsourcing of our moral judgments to markets has been to hollow out, to empty our public discourse of larger moral questions. And so it seems to me that what we need in order to keep markets in their proper place, what we need is an ethically more engaged, more robust kind of public discourse than the kind to which we've become accustomed. And that means we have to demand more of ourselves as democratic citizens. Politicians and political parties everywhere tend to have a stake in the existing terms of public discourse. So I think we need to look to civil society, to the institutions of higher education, to the media to fulfill its responsibility, not just to cover sensation and scandal, but to provide forums for real discussion of questions of justice and the common good. We need to find our way to a better, higher kind of public discourse. Not because we will agree if we have a reasoned public debate about big ethical questions. We likely won't agree, but the quality of our disagreements and of our debates will be enriched, will be deepened, and we may develop civic habits of listening to and learning from one another, even where we may disagree. And so, in the end, the question of what should be the role of money in markets is not mainly an economic question. It's a question of how we want to live together. It's a question about what it means to be a democratic citizen. The case for cultivating the ability to engage in reasoned public discourse about big ethical questions is that it will make for healthier democracies. And it will also make us more fully aware of the price we pay for living in societies where almost everything is up for sale. Thank you all very much.